Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're gonna play on and stand strong with Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on. Pump up the volume. It's time to play ball.
All right, it's time to go to work. Joe, Lowe, and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Happy Thursday. Welcome to the show, and thank you for riding shotgun with us once again today. As always, it is greatly appreciated. Your guest lineup is as follows. Diamond Dallas Page, 1 hour from now at 7 o'clock. He was in the WCW when Dennis Rodman made that appearance during the NBA Finals way back in the day, 1998. DDP was on the wrong end of a steel chair, courtesy of Rodman. We're going to talk to him about all that stuff. He's actually an extraordinarily inspirational individual as well. He's doing DDP yoga. He's got the app these days. He joined us on the show, I want to say, like 4 years ago, and it was one of the most positive and uplifting interviews I've ever done in my life. So DDP in 1 hour. Does Low know it's at 9 o'clock today? It is Thursday. Time fluctuates depending on the guest. We will be talking to that individual, the mystery guest, at 9 o'clock. Jorge Sedano from ESPN is going to join us at 9:30. Low, how you feeling today? How you feeling physically? Because I got a physical question for you right out of the gate. Physical, one more time.
You know, yeah. you know what? I, you know, when I'm feeling okay, I'm excited today. Just try to get, you know, a couple hundred push-ups in and try to see if I can do it, you know, the right way. And, you know, watching some of these videos and just trying to see if I am feeling it's physical. Because mentally, I think with everything going on, Joe, I think mentally we're not as strong. I don't know. So to answer your question, I think I feel good, but just the showing that the proof's in the pudding about doing what I feel, sometimes I don't do it. So I need some mental help to make me feel physically and mentally better. How about that?
Let me tell you something. We opened the show with essentially how you feeling, and I still get a fence riding split response. What do I do with that, Dibs? Hey, Lo, how you doing? Well, it's like, what do you mean, well? The word is good. That's it. It's either good or bad.
Yeah, you caught him off guard, I think, with an opening salutation as deep and as profound as "How are you doing?" Because really, Joe, how are any of us doing? You know, is it relatable to how we should be doing or how others are doing, how we once aspired to be doing or how we thought we'd be doing? Really, it's more of a complex question than you may have otherwise thought.
No, but
the thing about it is
you guys say that I'm not prepared, but see, that's the thing about it. I expected this type of answer and type of retort. You guys ask how I'm doing physically, mentally, and you really don't really mean it. You say that all the time, Joe. You're like, you know what? I always say, you know, ask what I'm doing, but I really don't know. Because then all of a sudden, once I ask them, they start telling me, like, what the hell did I do? So I put you in that situation. You asked, and I was going to really let you know, and we went down that rabbit hole. So you really didn't want to know anyway, because that's what you always say, you and Dib. So I get both you guys.
That's where this is that one rare exception. This is the outlier. I honestly didn't care how you were feeling because it was an entire setup to get into this Sean McVay conversation. So we were looking at this video this morning, Rams head coach Sean McVay and his ability to do 100 push-ups in less than 4 minutes. That's his own little personal push-up challenge. He's apparently friends with this guy, Josh Altman. Josh Altman is on a show, Million Dollar Listing. I don't know much about it, but I think I've stumbled across it before. Real estate show. Yeah. On I don't know what the TV show. I don't know what the station is. We'll get that for you. We'll promote it. But they're friends. McVay goes over to his house. He tells him about this 100 push-up, four-minute challenge. Guy tries to do it. I fast-forwarded through. I don't know if he succeeded. But I did watch McVay do it. And McVay's very critical of push-up posture and all that stuff, which is why I asked how you're feeling. Because I'm curious, can you do 100 push-ups in 4 minutes if we ended up filming this thing and sending it McVay and telling him his form's off? This is how you do push-up form.
Oh, then I'm in. Let's do it. Both feet. Let's go. I'm feeling great. Feeling
so
legendary,
feel good.
Dibbers.
It turns out you are feeling good.
That's awesome. And that's really the answer that he was looking for. It's curious that you put both of us in the camp of asking you and then not caring when I hadn't actually said a word. It felt a little like reverse racism.
Yeah, you did.
Hadn't said anything when Joe asked you how you were doing. I was yet to speak.
And
on
then
this very
do?
Fine program.
And then what happened?
And then I, as
into,
always, I jumped in on his side.
Then,
I piled
right.
on. Yeah.
You bowed? Extra sauce? You absolutely bowed on?
Joe
bowled
was
on.
Making the tackle, and I play until I hear glass break. So I'm always the second man in. I try to clean up the pile. He gets credit for the tackle, but I get that good old-fashioned hit stick in.
Does anyone know when this McVay video actually took place? Because if it's recent, it's not the best of looks. Now, I'm not going to criticize him, but the one thing is, as I'm watching this, I'm thinking, all right, he's hanging out at this other dude's house. They're not family. I don't even know if you're allowed to do that. They're laying on the ground, and McVay's doing the thing where you probably know this. He puts his fist on the ground underneath the guy's chest so that the guy can come all the way down. The chest touches the fist, and then that counts as an official push-up. Anyone know when they shot this video? If it's recent, I don't know if you're supposed to be out there touching each other, spotting each other on push-ups these days. I don't know if Newsom said that was part of the
opening plan. Is Newsom your dadum, Joe? Is Newsom your daddy? Is he really y'all daddy? Y'all go, I mean, if McVay go out there and do it, and he's with some friends doing some push-ups, hell. And you guys, I don't know he's supposed to be doing that. I mean, come on, Dibs. Is this your daddy, Knutson? Come on.
Again, it's interesting how Joe's words become opinion.
I know you
always talk
what
about,
you going to do.
You know, you don't know what I'm going to do. And, you know, Gavin, in fact, is not my daddy. I happen to know him particularly well, having grown up in Marin, just a few years behind him. I know his wife. I know some of his close friends, because I don't try to leverage the people I know to have you try to pillory one of our great young leaders in this fine state. And for you to try to cast me in the same light as Joseph just because we happen to be similar from a pigment standpoint is wrong and out of line.
Nice uptick. Bit of an odd opening segment. Didn't
Super
really see
odd.
It going here, but I shouldn't be that surprised when it does. So to keep with the oddball theme early on, Karl Malone recently surfaced video. This is from, I believe, February of 2019. E60, ESPN's investigative arm, had this video. They released it. I think it was yesterday because a lot of people were talking about it. I'm not sure if it was part of the Last Dance documentary footage that didn't make the cut, but this is Karl Malone being asked about his thoughts regarding Michael Jordan. Take a listen.
So when I say the name Michael Jordan, what comes to mind?
Michael Jordan.
Well,
what else I need to say? Thank you. Go ahead.
So talk to me about the Game 6 finals in Utah when he stole the ball.
Why do I have to? But I tell you this, I'm all man, and I accept the responsibility for not winning one, and we were there. We just happened to be playing the Chicago Bulls, which wasn't just Michael Jordan, by the way. And I have the utmost respect for Michael, but I never thought I was playing Michael Jordan. I was playing the Chicago Bulls. Everybody say this person was a bad man and all that. Well, yes, I give them respect, but I got a set of them. I'm a man, and I was a bad son too. So that's how I look at that, and that's who I am. Maybe in my older years, I can call it that bluntly, but I'm just calling it like I see it.
All right. So the Chilton Auto Body text line is open at 95795. Very direct question. Who handled the answer to their question worse? Karl Malone, when being asked, what does he think about when he hears the name Michael Jordan and he stumbles into some rambling tirade about how he's a man? Or Lo Neal being asked how he's doing and going on for 2 minutes with no real answer in sight? Dibs, which one to you is more befuddling?
This good old-fashioned toss-up, Joe. I got both sides at minus 110 right now. Double favorites here. This one could go either way. I'm going to say Karl Malone a little bit more befuddling just because the opening. What do you think of when you hear the name Michael Jordan? Michael Jordan. Thanks, Carl. Back to you.
Thank you for agreeing to do our documentary. Right. This will definitely make the final cut. Lo, what do you think about that? It's funny because if you don't see it, Malone's puffing on a cigar. He gets ultra defensive right away. Then it's this whole thing where I'm not thinking about Jordan. I'm thinking about the Bulls. I guess that. I mean, I guess you're thinking about the entire team. But, you know, that team is one thing with Jordan and one thing without.
Joe, if I asked you about Vermont and we talk about this show, what would you think about?
Fish, because the band Fish is from Burlington, Vermont.
Yes, I think the correct answer for Lowe would be my ill-fated trip to Vermont from Baltimore, 500
Dang.
Miles,
sorry,
no nookie. Yeah.
Sorry, Lowe.
Yeah, no, this time he's trying to dust the dinner.
Yes.
Anyway, Lowe, I have the correct answer.
I can't believe you, Joe. Come on. He's talking about
nookie. It's early. I wasn't thinking. I didn't think. Just Vermont. I'm like, he picked a random state, so I'll come up with something for him.
Yeah, not so random for me when I drove 500 miles from Baltimore in search of maybe a scoop and score.
Yes!
You see the fumble on the ground, and you bend over to pick it up, and you know you're going to score, and then you look up, and you realize you had forgotten to pick up the football.
Yes,
I ran 22 yards with no football.
You all right, Dibs?
Thank you. Now, you've seen that, Joe? I mentioned a place, and you got that dissertation from Dibs. Why? Because it's painful. Why? Because he got no cookie for the nookie. That's what he alluded to. That came out of his words, not mine. And then you listen at what happened when you mentioned one word to Malone. And that's what you got, because it's still etched and burnt in his mind. No matter what, he wanted to get a championship, and that team and that person stole it.
That is really well done.
Thank
so essentially, you're drawing
Thank
the comparison
yes.
that when Malone hears the name Michael Jordan, he just shudders to think. And when Dibs hears the state Vermont, he
no
shudders
question.
In equal cold sweat.
Dibs?
Yeah. I don't think about the band Fish, Joe.
All right. So Dibs and I are disagreeing on something here in the opening segment, which was brought to you by Fremont Bank. Still open to serve the community they love with full service banking and no compromises. The NBA's got a plan. We've said this before about them, Major League Baseball, and everything else, but it feels like we have dates. It feels like we're getting close. It feels like this might be it. We're going to have the details for you next here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe, Low, and Dibs.
I find it strange that you would wear clothes to bed.
On 95.7 The Game.
This segment is presented by our friends at Golden State Lumber. Open from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, with some locations open on Saturday. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com for more information. Happy Thursday. Welcome to the show. Diamond Dallas Page at 7 o'clock. Mystery guest. Does Low know 10 questions to try and figure it out? He's been scorching hot. That is today at 9 o'clock. Here is the latest from the National Basketball Association. It feels on the surface like we're making progress, but we've had these reports, we've had these stories before. We love to buy in because it gives us hope. I'm not sure how far we should go this time. It's from Shams Charania and Sam Amick of The Athletic. I'm going to read directly from the first couple paragraphs. Orlando's Walt Disney World Resort is the clear frontrunner to become the NBA's playing site to resume the 2019-2020 season amid the coronavirus pandemic, sources told The Athletic. The NBA is in serious discussions with Disney about the property, which has gained clear momentum over cities such as Las Vegas, sources said. It remains unclear when the games would begin, but multiple sources say the prospect of players fully training in mid-June and playing by mid-July has been the most popular and possible scenario discussed. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver told the Board of Governors on May 12th that he aims to decide on the season in 2 to 4 weeks and that he wants to wait as long as he can to make final decisions. So to recap here, Silver, sometime by the beginning of June, is probably going to make a decision. He wants to make a decision by then at the latest. They want to get the players back into their home facilities, which in California you can do starting June 1st. Get them up to speed, have them do some training, and by mid-July, resume the season. Now, we don't know if that means the regular season, then a playoff run, or just strictly to the playoffs, but it looks like it might be taking place at Walt Disney World, Dibs. You hear these details, you feel any more optimistic than you have felt as of late.
Yes, I do feel much more optimistic, Joe, and it's because of the timeline that you laid out, thinking about a decision in 2 weeks. 2 weeks from tomorrow would be June 5th, which is after the June 1st deadline that you were mentioning, where the state of California, New York, and Texas were going to allow some resumption of pro sports. So if you get to that point in 2 weeks, then you can say, all right, 2 weeks from now, we're going to convene in Orlando, which would be about Father's Day, mid-June. And like you say, 3 weeks or so of that sort of re-training camp, re-preseason, then you could start actual games in mid-July. And I think they would resume some sort of a regular season. I don't think they'll play all the way through 82 games, which I think the Warriors would have 17 more games. You'll probably see a half dozen or so games, allowing those teams on the outside looking in maybe one last gasp to get into a playoff, and then send the teams home that aren't in the playoffs and then do some sort of a tournament.
Lo, you hear the report. You've heard countless reports about baseball, about basketball, about football. You name it, we've had them. Any more optimistic this time around?
Yeah, I think that you have to look at it and be optimistic because of the fact that the league and the players, they want to happen, because I think it comes down to revenue. I think both sides, even the billionaires and the millionaires, both sides, their pockets are pinching. They're being pinched. And everyone says, well, the billionaires. Well, you know what? They say the millionaires. Well, I know this. Everyone's poor just at a different level. When you're a billionaire, you still have you have the billionaire debt. When you're a millionaire, you have the millionaire debt, and so forth and so on. So I'm more optimistic about this happening. I think the players want it to happen. I think it's a little more than a half dozen. I think it's the numbers 10. They play 10 games, and then, you know, so you lose 6 to 7 games that's going to be canceled for the rest, and 10 is a pretty good number for maybe a team like New Orleans to squeeze into that spot. So I can see this happening. I think it will happen. I would be on the side to err on side of caution. I think that, yes, if you ask me to do what will happen, I'm more optimistic that that's going to happen, basketball, than baseball.
There's a lot to be excited about here. A lot to be excited about. Maybe I'm buying in and I shouldn't, but I'll tell you what, this right here is exactly what happens when both sides of an argument, when both sides of a debate, when both sides of a problem are mutually invested in the outcome. This is the difference between the NBA and Major League Baseball. The NBA, everybody stands to lose. If you can't get back to work, the players lose revenue, the owners lose revenue. It's a 50-50 revenue split. So with no games, there's no money. With no money, there's no earnings. The quicker you get back, the faster you get back, the more games you play, the more money you generate, the more money you can earn. At the same time, for every game you're missing and every dollar you're losing, that's being applied to next year's salary cap. So it's not just about this season for the NBA. The salary cap projections are based on the previous year's revenue. So if you have a down year in a big way this season, next year's salary cap has to drop. The luxury tax ends up burying teams like the Warriors just a little bit more, and it becomes problems for everybody. So the players are motivated to get something done. The owners are motivated to get something done. We're hearing about Disney World, which just so happens to take place in Florida. Tell you one thing about Florida. For all the jokes Florida has endured over the years, and they've endured many, and for very good reason, Florida seems to be the state that's welcoming back everybody. Come on in, Tom Brady. Come on in, UFC. And piece by piece, the major professional sports divs seem to be looking at Governor Ron DeSantis in the state of Florida as their beacon for getting back to business.
Yeah, and when it comes to Orlando, you've been there. I haven't, so I can't totally speak to it, but it seems the ESPN complex.
Check that out.
It's deferential, Joe. I'm trying to, not shoot the ball when I'm not in a position to score. Having never been to Orlando, I can only speak to what I perceive in this Disney World complex, where the MLS is hoping to go. I've been able to see some aerial footage of the fields, and it's massive. So if the basketball facilities are equal to that, then it makes perfect sense that this would be a place where you can resume. But yeah, hat tip to Florida for continuing to open up your doors to professional sports.
Disney World Resorts is essentially approximately the same square mileage as San Francisco. So just take San Francisco, that's Disney World.
Wow.
Now, that includes the hotels and everything else. It's about double the size of Manhattan, roughly the size of San Francisco, to give you an idea of what you're working with, from theme parks to hotels to all that good stuff.
Wow.
And you're right. Not only is the state opening up with UFC and everything else, but at the same time, Disney, what do they have in relation to the NBA? Disney owns ESPN and ABC. They're a major partner. Bob Iger, I guess he's still the president and CEO of Disney, but he's going to be stepping down in a year, but he's still working there. He's been kind of trying to work to broker deals. He got involved in one of these meetings not too long ago, Lo. So it feels like we got a lot of power players.
Yeah.
Feels like we got a location. It's going to come down to testing, but by mid-July, would you be willing to bet dead center of July, let's call it July 16th, we got NBA basketball back in our lives.
I'd be willing to bet, and I think Orlando's a great place. I mean, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I know there they have their training facilities in Orlando. They have it's a town that like you said, that center. Their Disneyland, it's a friggin' pretty much a town within, you know, they have all the facilities, hotels, you name it, they have it. I've been wanting to go there because, you know, they have the Bible phenom that they have there is like Israel and the stuff that you can go through the Bible. It's kind of got a little place set up that you actually feel like you're, you know, traveling. So that's how huge it is. So I definitely see it being there because there's a lot of things that people can do and families can do. So I could see the players staying there and bringing their significant others because of the fact all the things that you can do in Disney.
Only you could take us from Orlando to Israel in one sentence. It was incredible.
What were you referring to? Is this something are you talking about something at Disney World?
Yes, yes. They have the Bible Center there. We can look it up, Joe. It's magnificent. It's tremendous. It's almost like it's magnificent. It's big. It's beautiful. And you can actually go and feel like you're there. So they have mimicked what it looks like there, and they've made a visual arts of Israel, the motherland. So that's one of the things that I do want to do and I am going to do hopefully here soon.
Huh. Kind of like how if you go to Universal Studios, there are rides that you can participate in movies like Jaws. They used to do that. Earthquake. They had stuff like that. Are you saying you can go to Disney World and just reenact the resurrection? Like, hey, raise your hand if you're from the Midwest. All right, we're going to need two volunteers. You get to be Jesus and you get to resurrect and you get to be. Is that how it works? Is it the resurrection experience? It gets people to buy in. It's a great story.
Yeah, it does. It does. But it's pretty neat. I know Dibs already punched it up, and he's looking at it, seeing...
No, that's I'm just looking at the clock, hoping that we're running out of time here. But,
we are, in fact, not.
To answer your question, yes. To answer your question, yes. The good, Dibs. Is just bear with us here, Dibs. It is radio, and we got 4 hours left. So we just have to look at this and be optimistic about this. So we know that NBA wants to get rolling. We know that there's a lot of players that are in a situation that they want this. And I think that now it's almost a foregone conclusion that the Lakers win the title because of the situation.
Stop right there. Just please, before we go any further down this road, we already went from Orlando to Israel. Why would you say that it's a foregone conclusion that they're going to win the title? Please base this on something other than your constant dangling from LeBron.
Do you really want me to jump in this? Are you seriously going to do
this? Well, that's why I asked you a question.
Well, because you usually ask me a question, and then you step all over it and poo-poo all over my answers before I can even get up. But I will. For one, you let LeBron rest. This was halfway during the season. He was, you know, of course, trying to force through those things. But his body, 35 years old, didn't show signs of slowing down. But he was. He's getting tired. Now you're in a situation where he's going to be fresh. He's had 2 months off. This guy now, you can train at his own speed. So now you're going to see a guy with a fresher body, more spring. And he understands that the end of the line is coming. And what's been there to even give him more motivation to help him succeed? I think Dancing with Michael Jordan. And watching The Last Dance. I think there's a lot of things that puts more of, I guarantee you, if the odds come out again, I guarantee you, look at where they were at the beginning, and now when this thing starts back up, I guarantee their odds will increase. Mark my words.
Do you feel that, I think that's an interesting angle there, that now during quarantine, we've gone through 10 episodes of The Last Dance. LeBron's obviously watched it. He's talked about it and all that stuff. He's being compared to him left and right. Do you think that's going to play a role in what happens when the season resumes and the playoffs start, hopefully sometime later this summer? Like the possibility that maybe now he's thinking about taking that last shot, or he's continuing to make the final play, or there's more pressure on his shoulders to build on the legacy, or the idea that, you know, maybe he's more motivated after watching something like that. You think it benefits the Lakers in some way based on that documentary?
No question. No question at all. I think that it makes him more motivated. I think it makes him motivated to win. I think it made him more motivated to push even harder. I think that he calls Anthony Davis and said, man, we need you watching this. I think he calls those younger guys, Kuz, and says, hey, look, man, need you guys watching this. He still can push guys. I know that he has some, he can be a little bit at times LeBron-ish. I get it. And not down that, but I think that this has served the Lakers organization. If you say which organization that I think that got the most from this time off, I think it's LeBron and the Lakers. I really do.
Basketball is normally very top heavy. The best teams are usually vying for the championship at the end of the year, right? Like in the NFL, we can see a 6 seed emerge. It's happened time and time again. You've had these wild card teams go on these runs. College football, it's generally the cream of the crop. But the NBA, usually the top seeds are going to be there vying for it at the end. In a year like this, Dibs, do you think it's more likely that we could have some volatility, a 7 seed, an 8 seed coming out of nowhere because guys might be out of shape, guys might be in better shape? Or do you think this year, like all others, the cream, as Macho Man Randy Savage would say, will rise to the top?
Much more likely that I'm the cream of the crop.
Much more likely that we'll have upheaval, in my opinion, because of the fact that everybody got rest. It's convenient that we point to the rest that one 35-year-old was able to get. But I believe, and I'd have to check my notes, Joe, I don't think any of the NBA teams have actually played during this this coronavirus time. So they probably have been resting as well. But I digress, as we like to say on this program. I think when you have a situation where you're playing out of season, these games will be in July and August, even into September, there's a certain amount of rust and rest for everyone that throws this all into upheaval. And we don't know if they're going to do best of seven. And in fact, they probably won't do best of seven playoffs in every round. Shorter series gives the underdog a greater chance of pulling off the stunner. So
take a breath.
I think there will be upheaval, and it won't just be the top seeds advancing as some short-sighted, small-minded people might think.
Lo, who do you think the biggest threat would be to the Lakers? Is it still the Clippers? Would it be Giannis? Are we really at a point where we would go in? If I gave you those three versus everybody else, you're taking those three to win. What if just gave you the Lakers and the Clippers? You don't get the Bucks. You can have the Lakers and the Clippers versus the field. Who are you taking?
The Lakers and the Clippers. And that's why I think Dan would say the same thing. And if you put his foot to fire. But here's the thing that I differ from Dan. And he should know. You saw when he did the disgrace at the Chase, the guy couldn't walk. He was sick for 3 days. Now, say if he would have played that next day, could he have went out there and played? No. So why? Because you're older, your lungs, all the capacity, no matter what. It's different. When you're a young man, I played in this league for 16 years, Coach. Don't hear it sitting
well,
here
not this league.
No, 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 no. Just, hey, stop. Okay, I let you make a mockery of me for now. Let me tell you.
You know, I'm just trying to fact check. I wasn't sick for 3 days. I was sick for a day. So let's just be factual when we're trying to smear my health and my good name.
Well, okay, then I won't smear your health or your name. I just know one thing. You were tired. You looked a mess the next day. Your bronchitis, all the stuff that was. I'm just letting you know that when you're 35, your body reacts different than when you're 25 and 26, 27. I'm not saying LeBron's not in great shape. I'm not saying that. Mentally, I can't say. You know that we know that he's a mental giant. I get that. But it still is it's still more trying on his body because of just the normality of it. So that's why I'm telling you that it does help. And we can bring science on to back what I'm saying. It's not me just dangling like you like to say all the time that I'm dangling and goggling all the stuff that you always say I'm doing.
Swinging to and fro is another line that Dibs has used before regarding your support of LeBron James. But you know what? Someone apparently has to support him because he came under fire recently. Nice guy. Do you have the Paul Pierce audio?
No, I do not.
You do not? Okay, so I think we have the quote. I can go ahead and grab that. Actually, I can't. I don't know where I have it. Anyway, let's just go with this. ESPN had a roundtable Zoom. Maria Taylor was hosting it. It was Jay Williams from Duke. It was who's also on the network, obviously. It was Paul Pierce and it was Jalen Rose. And they were in a discussion about a variety of things basketball related. And it somehow ended up on the topic of LeBron James, to at which point Paul Pierce made his case that LeBron James is not a top five player of all time. Not a top five player. He has Michael Jordan number one, Kareem number two, Bill Russell number three, Magic Johnson number four, Kobe Bryant number five. And he's sitting there and he's laying out his case, and you can see him. And a lot of times these guys might smile and they'd give you a little bit of an indicator that this could be a bit of a troll job just to get people riled up. Pierce was pretty defiant. He was pretty defiant. He was making the case that LeBron had to go to Miami and build a team with Wade and Bosch. And then he went to L.A. And, you know, so far, even though L.A. is trending well this season, they didn't have a good first year out. And he points to a lot of that and highlights the fact that guys like Bill Russell, you know, end up with the Celtics and they're part of a team and they're there a long time. I don't know. He's making the case. Now, the other two don't respond very favorably. But when you hear that, Low, are you thinking that Paul Pierce is genuinely out there trolling him? Or are you thinking that Paul Pierce believes that LeBron James truly isn't a top five player?
I think that what he's doing, I don't know if he's necessary. I don't want to call the man a troll, but I will say this. You can make a case, and he was making a case. Just because you're making a case doesn't make it a good case. And that's where I'm at on that. I don't want to just smear Paul Pierce and say he's hating, you know, do that because, you know, his name's not being mentioned. I just think that it's a situation where you can make a case for those players that he named, but it doesn't make it a great case against LeBron. That's the point that I think that his argument kind of falls a little on deaf ears.
Dibs, Paul Pierce's top five, Jordan, Kareem, Russell, Magic, Kobe. Is it possible that this is anything other than trying to stir stuff up to gain attention, or do you think he legitimately is trying to make this case because he does, in fact, believe it?
He's making the case because he believes it, and there is a case to be made. You're not talking about some scrub who he threw in, and it's clearly disrespectful, somebody who's like Tracy McGrady. He's in my top five. Come on, Tracy McGrady, great player. Maybe top 50, probably not even that. And so that would demean the entire list. But you talk about Bill Russell, winningest player ever, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, all-time leading scorer for a long time, Kobe Bryant, legend, multiple titles, more titles than LeBron. There's cases to be made for all those guys, so I don't think it's that much of a stretch to where it's a straight-up troll job.
If you're knowing everything you know about both of their careers, who they are as people, all that stuff, how they've gotten along with teammates, you have all the information that you know now about Kobe Bryant and LeBron James. You get to go back in time to an era where they're both coming out the same year, both high school kids coming out. Who would you rather build your team around from day one? Would you rather go with Kobe Bryant, or would you rather go with LeBron James?
I would rather go with Kobe Bryant for me. A little bit better on the defensive end and a little bit more of a prolific scorer, true scorer. LeBron probably better overall, obviously more physical, better physical specimen. Kobe better defender, Kobe better scorer. I'm going with Kobe.
Low, I'm taking it that you're going to go with LeBron, but how close is it? How much would you need to think about which guy you'd rather build around if it was going to be your franchise piece from day one?
It's close. It is close because you got to look at the Mamba, look at Kobe, what he did. Like Dib said, the guy was, you know, he was a killer. He could do things defensively and, you know, he could score, do what he wants. But I think LeBron has the edge. I think, and it's a big edge too, just far as when he wants to take over. If he just put his head down and turned to a bull in China shop, he becomes pretty much unguardable. So I think Kobe had a stretch there where you could still kind of guard him. I think LeBron, just his physicality, his ability to shoot the ball too. And I think LeBron's a way better shooter than I think that people give him credit for as well.
We certainly worked on it, and guy's gotten better over the years. We try to cut him down at every curb or every turn because he is public enemy number one in these parts. But at the same time, he realized the league was moving towards a more three-point aggressive style of play, so he worked on the three-pointer and did improve those numbers. I'll say this about Pierce, whether it's trolling or not, if he's trying to make the case, this is reason number one, argument number one, as to why when we have these Hall of Fame discussions like we do in the NFL and we say, well, how come fullbacks aren't in? What do they need to do? Well, you know, it's media members who aren't necessarily watching tape. Maybe we should get some former players on the panel. That would help us out. This is right here why you probably don't get former players on the panel, because former players find themselves on TV saying all types of stuff, getting people worked up, and you got to wonder whether or not you can trust the opinion. Like Kendrick Perkins. I'll be completely honest about how I feel about Kendrick Perkins. Every time our producer, John Curley, sends us an email the night before the show with some ideas, some stories to kick around that might make sense for what we're trying to do, if I see Perkins on there, I immediately move past it. I'm not talking about it. In fact, I'm going out of my way to not talk about it, even though I'm bringing him up now. Why? I know he's saying what he's saying solely for the purpose of garnering views and attention so that his salary goes up. That's it. And there's a place for it in the world. Not knocking that. Just saying that I don't find him to be giving a very honest and truthful opinion. Therefore, I don't feel the need for us to discuss it on this program because it's BS to begin with. That's what gives former players a bit of a bad name. And that's why when you're talking about putting them on Hall of Fame panels, possibly to help right the wrong that is the fullback position being so omitted over the last, 30 years since Larry Zonka went in 1987, this is part of that problem. Which players would you put in? Because some may have biases. Pierce, he might not be out there trolling, but he might be keeping LeBron off because he had that rivalry with him when it was Celtics-Cavaliers and Celtics-Heat. And he might just not like him, which is why he's keeping him out of the top five. Those biases do come into play, Dips.
Yeah, and they can't help but come into play because, I mean, Lowe played 16 years, and I'm sure there's guys who were good players he liked and really good players who he didn't like. It doesn't mean he would vote for him or not vote for him if he had the opportunity, but it's hard not to have biases creep in some fashion. If you had to start, Joe, between Kobe and LeBron, I'm interested which way you would go on that because it was a tough question.
I don't know if Kobe's game was as efficient. But the thing that worries me is I think, and even though I saw what happened with Shaq, I wonder which guy would be able to handle. I need a guy that can handle the widest possible variety of combinations of teammates because both guys have shown they could span a few decades, right? So if we're going to get 15 years out of Kobe Bryant, 15 plus years out of LeBron James, and you're going to sit down and you're going to figure out who do you want to build around for the future, I'm going to need the guy that can accept help. I'm going to need the guy that can work with other big personalities, big egos. Kobe early in his career had the beef with Shaq. Okay, that happens. LeBron had some beefs with Kyrie Irving and some other guys. Okay, that happens as well. Who's the guy that can give me the longest sustained level of both production on the court as well as leadership and teamwork in the locker room? I'd be playing the big game there, which is why I probably lean a little bit to LeBron because I think health was a bigger concern for Bryant. Bryant was less efficient as a shooter, in my opinion. He made less efficient plays. I'm not going to necessarily highlight the final game of his career, but we saw lots of games like that, high volume, whereas LeBron might be more inclined to pass. So that would be the direction I'd probably be thinking about going. But I do know with Bryant, I get an absolute killer. And at times, I know there have been questions with James there, but I'd side with LeBron.
This one for you, Lo. Good job. Congrats.
Doesn't make it right.
Not 2-1. You guys win. It's great. I lose. Lo, you there? It's radio.
Yeah, of course I'm here. Do you want a comment? You just said score for you, Lo. Did you want me to jump in and interject?
You could either thank me for complimenting you, or you could gloat. Sitting silent probably was the worst of the three choices.
I don't need to gloat. It's not me. I'm trying to, when I need to put you in your place, I try to do that. When I don't need to, I won't. There was no need to put you in your place. You admit it. Hey, look, here we go. So we're on to Cincinnati, and you look at Kobe Bryant in his later part of his career. You look at LeBron and what he's doing in his part of career. You wasn't hearing Kobe Bryant in year 15 and 16 MVP type of numbers, but you are with LeBron James. He's showing the durability, showing that he's stronger. So when you, Dibs, just look at that, that alone should let you see, hey, man, what am I thinking? But that's you thinking your way you think, and I'm not going to go down your load. You asked me to comment, so there you go.
Diamond Dallas Page is going to join us at 7 o'clock. We've got the mystery guest today. It is Thursday. It's at 9 o'clock. Does Lo know 10 questions to try to figure it out? Jorge Sedano will join us at 9:30. All right. Football. Dre Greenlaw with some very interesting comments about Javon Kinlaw and a certain former Niner is back in business. We're going to have all that for you next here on 95.7 The Game.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Now back to Joe, Lo, and Dibs.
Quiet, Lo. Shut your mouth, Lo.
On 95.7, The Game.
This segment right here is presented by Golden State Lumber. Open from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday with some locations open on Saturday. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com for more information. Diamond Dallas Page in 11 minutes at 7 o'clock. Does Lo know at 9 o'clock? Mystery guest joining us at 9 o'clock. Lo's got 10 questions to figure it out. He's been red hot as of late. Speaking of red hot, all coming up roses for former San Francisco pass rusher Aldon Smith, who was recently signed by the Dallas Cowboys to a one-year deal worth up to $4 million if he hits all those incentives. It kept coming up roses, like we mentioned yesterday, when the report came out that he has been granted his conditional reinstatement by the NFL from an indefinite suspension for violation of the league's personal conduct and substance abuse policies. That's according to Todd Archer at at ESPN. So now Alden Smith is allowed to take part in meetings with Cowboys coaches and teammates in the, quote, virtual offseason program, which is beginning on Tuesday. So there you have it. Alden Smith isn't just back with the Cowboys. He has been reinstated by the NFL, Lorenzo Neal. We haven't seen him since the year 2015, but you got to figure, great opportunity here for Smith. Great opportunity here for Smith to turn what is one of the most disappointing stories that we've seen in quite some time into something that could be inspiration for other people.
Yeah, no question, Joe. I think that this could be a book, a movie. I mean, he has the opportunity to write the ship. He really does. You look at his career and what has happened and what's transpired. You're talking about one of the best, one of a great football movie, a great story that for people to get behind. If this guy comes back and he goes to a Pro Bowl, and you look at his checkered past of what he's done, driving and drunk, and his career looked like it was gone. This is an opportunity. I always say opportunity is never lost. It's given to someone else. So we'll see if he sees this opportunity. Kudos to him for being able to get back in the league and giving him a third, fourth chance.
Tibbs, he's going to be 31 years old in September. I don't think anyone's expecting Alden Smith to record 15 or more sacks, but the story's a positive one if he can continue down the right path.
Yeah, and 15 sacks would get him $4 million because you look at the way the incentives are laid out. I think 8 sacks is where the first incentive hits, so that's about what you would expect. If he has a good year and you get to 8 sacks, I know that's where his first level comes in. His last 16 games he played in the NFL over the course of 2 seasons with the Raiders, with the 49ers, he had 5.5 sacks. So I think if he's able to come in and play all 16 games, he gets roster bonuses. If he's able to come away with 5.5 sacks, play all 16 games, be up on game day, I think he makes 2 of the $4 million. That would be a great first step on the way back if he's able to play all the games, stay out of trouble, stay healthy, etc. A
lot of upside here. A lot of upside if he's in shape and he's able to handle it. On one end, you've got DeMarcus Lawrence commanding a lot of attention from opposing offensive lines. So it's not as if Smith is going to play the Von Miller type role. Think about Von Miller and Bradley Chubb in Denver, notably 2 years ago because Chubb only played a few games last season due to injury. Miller's going to command a majority of the attention like Cowboy Justin Smith did back in the day, and it freed up Chubb to get some favorable matchups. And as a rookie, he reported double-digit sacks. Now, like I said, he was hurt last year for most of it, but he was still having an impressive season in the games he played. Alden benefited greatly from playing around great talent when he was in San Francisco. Now opposite to Marcus Lawrence, he could take on the Robert Quinn type role. Quinn was a former first round pick out of North Carolina of the St. Louis Rams. He then played with them when they were in Los Angeles. He spent a year in Miami and then joined the Cowboys on a 1 year deal last year, 2019, recorded 11.5 sacks in this defense, and then signed a big free agent deal with the Bears. So the opportunity is there, but Lo, you got to figure, you haven't played since 2015. You're 31 years of age. What type of player is Alden Smith, even if he's in great shape, like Jay Glazer says?
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do not just with great shape, but he's got to get his, I don't know what Jay Glazer exactly done. Does it have him doing MMA wrestling? And if he's done a lot of wrestling and rolling around, Joe, far as flexibility and being stretched out and being in arm locks and, getting all those different things that you have to go through wrestling, could that help him? Absolutely. Flexibility, all the plyos and all the different things you're doing to be explosive for the UFC, that type of training, it's good. A lot of football players do a lot of UFC stuff before the hand-to-hand combat, leverage and those things they work with. So it'd be interesting to see how he is, but it still doesn't nullify the fact that he hasn't been on the football in darn near 5 years. So it's still a difference, putting on pads, having a helmet, getting the fits, knowing those different things. So the game, the speed of the game, he still hasn't done that. So it's going to be interesting to just see how he gets in shape during training camp. Don't look for him to look really sharp right away. Look for this guy to grow and mature to get back his sea legs back underneath him. But I think coming out, it's going to be kind of tough just to get going again, Dibs.
Yeah, I think it's going to be near impossible. It's almost going to be 1,800 days between his last game, which was November of 2015, as Joe mentioned, and the first game if he plays for Dallas in September of 2020. And I just don't know if there's precedent in the NFL of a guy sitting out 5 years and coming back and being able to contribute at all, not even the same level that he was at before. And you'd have to go back 7 years, actually, to find when he was really the super productive Alden Smith. So it's not like he was, you know, 12 sacks top of his career 5 years ago. He was already kind of a fading player. So I think the expectations should be very, very low for Alden Smith.
Expectations for me are real simple. Just go out there and be a good teammate and stay out of trouble. And if you do that, you will have won. You'll have won. You personally will be able to look in the mirror and say you battled the demons and you won. Now, that's going to be a lifelong thing for him. Based on what everyone says about addiction and the things that people like Alden Smith have gone through, you don't just kind of cure that in a year, year and a half, and you never have to worry about it again. That's a battle for the rest of your life. But if he somehow finds his way back, he's on the straight and narrow, he's able to keep himself out of trouble, he's able to produce, be a good teammate, be a good guy in the locker room, that goes a long way, man, just towards getting your life back on track. Forget about the money, forget about the on-field production. You could be the type of guy that speaks to children, to others who have gone through the battle. If Alden could do it, I could do it. I mean, you remember the last time we saw him on TV? It was at the police station right by my house here in Mission Bay. A bunch of people were outside waiting for him to get released. He came out. He was ambushed. It looked like he was still drunk. It's just a terrible, terrible interview where he had no idea what he was saying, no idea what he was doing. You're thinking, this guy's lost. This guy's headed down a path that probably results in death if he doesn't figure out how to get it right. So ultimately, if he can just find a way back onto the field and become a guy who just contributes, he hangs around an NFL roster for a while, that's going to be the story. That's going to be the type of thing you can ride on for decades, inspiring others and helping people through the demons you battled yourself.
Yeah, and I hope he does. I mean, Joe, you're just talking about the battle, the demons that he went through, and just the last time you seen the looks that you saw from Alden Smith, it wasn't good one. And this is the ones that, you know, you do hope and pray that this guy can just be healthy. And it took 4 years, and hopefully Jay Glazer, and I imagine Jay put his name on this, and, you know, Jay's connected with the NFL and the commish and all those different things. So he must have made sure this guy's clean. So you got to realize, I don't think that a lot of guys would have put their name on this guy if they didn't see that he was trying to be clean, to go ahead and go to commissioner and make sure that he gets reinstated. This was something when we heard that, hey, Alden Smith is coming back. We asked, hey, do you think he ain't even reinstated? I was like, no, this is something. He was already being reinstated, or they wouldn't have done this. They knew something. We talked about that some months ago.
Right. I wonder if it's chicken and egg or egg and chicken, because is it he got reinstated and it was going to happen, so Dallas moved in, or did Dallas move in and then the league decided, well, if Dallas is going to bring him in, now we'll reinstate him? Which one do you think it was, Joe?
I think it was Jerry calling Roger saying, this is what we want to do. You work for me. How hard is it going to be to get him back? And they look into it and they say it's been a few years. Society's moved on. And they look into him a little bit. And if he's good, everyone agrees. And hey, guess what? Jerry just struck gold, everybody. Jerry found more of that oil. Found more of that oil. And he can make some money off of down there. Yeah. An old Big D. Diamond Dallas Page is going to join us in a couple minutes. I wanted to read this off first. Dre Greenlaw, Niners linebacker, did a virtual conference with a lot of Bay Area media yesterday. He had this to say about first round pick, number 14 overall, Javon Kinlaw, the defensive tackle out of South Carolina. Quote, the way Bosa came and showed his talent, I think Kinlaw can do the same thing and may very well be the defensive rookie of the year. It's going to be exciting to be behind him and play with him. Greenlaw obviously playing linebacker both on the weak side and on the outside across the from that position as well. Low, I mean, Javon Kinlaw, it's going to be tough. Chase Young coming out of Ohio State was the number two overall pick. Pass rusher out of Ohio State last year, number two overall pick, won defensive player of the year, defensive rookie of the year in Nick Bosa. But with all the talent surrounding Javon Kinlaw, you got to figure he's got a pretty good chance. And oh, by the way, 25-1 to win that award, boys. 25-1. How's it look, Lo? Tasty? Would you take a nibble?
It's tasty. It looks like a little nibbler. I you know what? I'm running. I'm going the opposite way. I'm not putting anything on it. Is it possible? Yes, it's possible. But is it probable? I don't know. I just don't know if you guys could name me a D-tackle, a guy that's inside, that plays in that three technique. Have there ever been a rookie of the year from that position? That's the question you got to ask. Now, I can understand the outside pass rusher because it's athletic ability, speed, dibs, you get by on, you're beating tackles. But when you're talking about in there with them guards and the big uglies in that little trenches where it's that man, it's man all imano, and now you're in there and you got to fight in the phone booth and beat those guys with your strength too, I think that that's a little tougher. So that's a bigger ask for him. It's great that Greenlaw is optimistic. It's great that Greenlaw is looking forward to it. That's what you do, incentivize a young fellow like that. I love it. I love the passion that these guys speak with.
Man, last defensive tackle to win the award was Aaron Donald in 2014. Your last five NFL defensive rookies of the year, working backwards, Nick Bosa, Darius Leonard, the linebacker from the Indianapolis Colts, Marcus Lattimore, the cornerback from the New Orleans Saints, Joey Bosa, pass rusher for the now Los Angeles Chargers, and Dibs Marcus Peters, cornerback of the Baltimore Ravens, who at that time was with the Kansas City Chiefs and did play for the Rams in there as well.
Yeah, and the majority of those players, obviously great players on mostly good teams. I'm not sure how great the Chargers were that particular year that Joey Bosa was the winner. But I think that Kinlaw's got a good chance because he's going to be on a good defense. And if DeForest Buckner goes out and wrecks shop like we think he will in Indy, if Kinlaw steps in and fills his shoes, that's going to give him even more gravitas around the league. And having Bosa won it last year, the Niners with a chance to go back-to-back, 25 is worth more than just a nibble. Lowe took a nibble and then immediately spit it back into his napkin and hid it under the table.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to your 7 o'clock hour of Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.